A mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin and Ryan. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, "Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus." If Jesus had turned up, their reactions would have been very different. Now, in my church growing up, there was a boy who in certain circumstances would be overcome by a panic attack. He'd begin to shake and he'd become dysfunctional. And we all knew as children, when this happened, we had to call his father. "Get David's dad." And his dad would turn up. His dad would come. And he'd take David's face in his hands. And he'd say to him, "Breathe. Breathe. Breathe with me, David. You're my son. I love you. It's okay. We're here together." And you could see the security and the composure and the life feed back into David. Because he had got his father's face. Now we are children, and we need our father's face in 2018. It will give us that level of security to allow us to be bold, to be adventurous, to take risks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Moses knew this. It's why he is so adamant in this passage that the people of God need the presence of God. The worst thing that could happen to Moses would be to lose the palpable, appreciable, tangible presence of God. He knew that it was only because of God's presence that he had got to where he had got to. I mean, Moses lacked confidence. He needed constant reassurance that he was God's man. He also knew that it was only because of God's presence that the people of God had got to where they got to. It was the glory cloud that led them out of Egypt towards the promised land. Now, how are they going to get there unless God's presence goes with them? Do you know the word presence in Hebrew means face? It's the same word. When God says, "My presence will be with you," he's saying, "My face will be with you." Do you have the Father's face with you tonight? You know, that great blessing that Moses gives, "The Lord make his face shine upon you." Now, the face is the relational gate. You know, when you're teaching someone at work to do something, you don't look at their knees, you look them in the eye. To have the face of God is to be in relationship with him. To have the presence of God is to be in partnership with him. And this evening is not only an opportunity to commit ourselves in partnership to one another and the work of God in this place, but it is our chance to say to our Father, "We need your face. We need your smile. We need your favor. We need your blessing." It's a chance for us to say, like Moses, "Father, we can't do what you're asking us to do without your presence with us, leading and guiding us." Now, it's on the top of Mount Sinai when the possibility of losing God's face becomes a reality. Moses has been talking with God for 40 days and 40 nights. And then God lets it be known what the people have done in his absence. And Moses is absolutely livid. He races down the mountain. He smashes the two stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on. He puts the ringleaders to death. He melts the golden calf, grinds it into powder, and scatters it on the water, insisting that the Israelites drink it. Yet, he also intercedes on their behalf. He asks God to show grace, chapter 32, verse 11, not to destroy them, verse 12, but to forgive them, offering himself as a substitutionary sacrifice in their place. Verse 32, "But now, please forgive their sin, but if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." Now, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. Look at chapter 33, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants." But notice, in this instance at least, his prayers are not effective enough. Verse 2, "I will send an angel before you." Now God offers in his place an unknown angel to lead the people into the promised land. Verse 3, "But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." But Moses holds out for the face of God, because he knows his God as the God who is there. Have you met God? This was outside a church in America. "Honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want to meet him." I was struck in the lady in the video who said that she wished that God would show himself more often. And it may be that there's people here this evening who feel the same way. Now, have you seen the new Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi? If you haven't, it's certainly worth a watch. The Force is what gives the Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and permeates us. It binds the galaxy together, says Luke Skywalker. Now, this is how many people understand the presence of God. They sort of say, you know, I sort of feel him everywhere. I particularly sort of when I feel him more when I'm sort of walking in the hills. But that's not the personal presence of God. That's more sort of, you know, a general sense of the greatness of the one who made this beautiful world. Now, the God of the Bible is not just transcendent, he is immanent. He is a person. A person who makes himself known personally, and someone that we can know as a friend. And this is the intimacy, the friendship that Moses enjoyed, and he's devastated here to see spoilt. God has withheld his face. You know, the people of God dissolve when God withholds his face. See verses 4 and 5. They are left feeling abandoned and lost. And it may be how you're feeling this evening. Maybe we've been doing life without the face of God for too long now. We long for him to turn his face and smile at us again. This is what Israel longs for. They are serious in their pursuit of the face of God. Now look how earnest their act of contrition and repentance is. Verse 6. Now what would compel us to strip away our idols? Now listen, we are so messed up. The things that we love are so disordered. The things that we're attempting to get life from are so wrong. It takes something powerful to remove these idols, these God substitutes we've been turning to. It takes something powerful to strip these idols from our lives. Now, one of the great features of an iPhone is FaceTime. And this means that we can now go beyond just talking to each other, but we can get, you know, his or her face. FaceTime. We desperately need it, but it has become more elusive than ever. Now, the effect of mobile phones has been devastating on communication. The more you connect, the less you connect, is the provocative slogan for a recent ad campaign. It's highlighting the devastating effect that mobile phones are having on relationships. Our smartphones are idols for many of us. Now, what would compel us to abandon our idols? Moses knows. Moses seeks the Father's face, verses 7 to 11. Look at his urgency. You see, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, he was not only receiving the Ten Commandments, but God was also giving him the instructions to build the tabernacle right at the center of the Israelite camp. And if the camp of Israel was too sinful now for God's presence, Moses would seek God outside the camp. Now, Moses goes outside of the camp and he builds a makeshift tent of prayer to seek God. And shouldn't this be the repentant response of all of us when faced with the loss of God's presence? To seek him until he shows up. The people act the same way. Notice how they track Moses' every movement, verse 10. As Moses pleads with God in the tent, the people do the same at the front of their tents. The people are praying with Moses. And as Moses went into the tent, the glory cloud drops down, comes down. And don't you love verse 11? The Lord speaks to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now, what would compel us to abandon our idols? Now, God takes Moses' face here and says, breathe. I love you, Moses. We're good here. He's having face time with God. This is the holy grail of human experience. It is what we all long for. Now, if we have this, it means we don't have to have that new iPhone. It means that we don't have to turn to pornography. It means we don't have to turn to shopping to satisfy our longings and our yearnings. We have the face of God, and it is enough. It is the only thing we need. We don't need that new golf club. We don't need that new pair of shoes. They lose their power over us because we have his face. It's the only thing that can truly satisfy. Well, we're given next an example of the personal way Moses and God spoke with each other. The God who is there and the God who is leading. When people tell their stories of when they were children, often they are heartbreaking stories. I heard one just this week. I never had my dad. He was always physically present. It's not that he abandoned the family physically, but he was an alcoholic. It was like that there was a veil always between us. You never had him. He just didn't really know how to engage with us as children. We never had his face. You can see how all the more endearing this verse of Scripture is. The Lord speaks to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face. It's why Moses is saying, I'm not going anywhere unless you go with me, Lord. Now, who is this angel? I don't know his face. And Moses makes two requests. The first is, please go with me. Please lead me. Verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Now, in this passage, Moses uses the language of knowing six times and the language of finding favor in your sight five times. In verse 13, he asks for this favor. Please teach me your ways. And this is Moses' way of saying, please go with me. And it's not just that I want you to lead me, God, but I want you to lead me by showing me your ways. You know, God shows us his ways through the reading of the Bible. And if we have no interest this year in knowing the Bible, we really must ask ourselves if we have any interest in talking to God face to face. I was really encouraged to discover that 25 students and their leaders are reading through the Bible together this year. And you know, it's not too late to sign up. And God, we see here, here's Moses, verse 14. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So please be with me is the first request, but Moses wants more. And we already get hints of this at the end of verse 13. Remember that this nation is your people. Here's his second request. Please go with us. Please lead us. See the change there, verse 15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Now Moses speaks for each one of us. We, of course, pray for our own partnership with God this coming year. And there's no better way to make that commitment as we come shortly to sign our partnership cards. But our partnership is not only personal, it is corporate. Our prayer is that God's face is with us as a church. And if God's face is with us, it gives us security. And it allows us to be bold and full of faith. Now, many years back, we partnered to renovate All Souls Church building, and we dug out the Waldegrave Hall. And Michael Bourne, the former rector, writes, faithlessness looks so helpless. We are not able. It measures things entirely in human terms. What are our resources? What can we muster in numerical strength? How much money can we raise? Trust is entirely in human and earthly things. Faith cannot work on those terms. It has to start by asking the fundamental question, is God in this thing or not? Is he leading us or not? Once that conviction of his leading has taken hold of us, there can be no looking back. The one unshakable fact is that God is in this, and he is the Lord who fulfills his promise and leads his people on in victory. Going ahead in faith is not confined to the calculation of our petty resources, but is based on the limitless resources of the Lord, who created heaven and earth, and who can supply all the need of his people. Such steps of faith are exciting and demanding. It really is exciting to partner together. Now, is there a greater privilege that you can count than to be part of All Souls Church? That this is your church family. But in order to do this effectively, we need one another. We need each other's face. It's why life groups are so important. But it's also demanding. There is a cost. It costs time and money. Now, you might be somebody who gives generously of your time, but you think you are not in a position to give of your money. Can I challenge that? You know, the Lord loves a generous giver. And maybe you've not understood the blessing that comes from giving. Or maybe you've been tithing generously for years, but you don't think that you have the time to serve. Can I challenge you tonight? So you can have the joy of working with one another, with brothers and sisters. Sacrifice is costly, but there is no better way of showing God that you are as serious about him as he is as serious about you. It's saying, you want his blessing. You want his presence. You want his face. Now, did you notice verse 16? It's absolutely staggering. Unless you go with us, what else will distinguish us? There is a shine about people who have been with God. And that's what happens at the end of chapter 34, verse 29. Now, when Moses came down from the mountain a second time, people stood back because his face was radiant. It was reflecting the glory of God. He'd been with God, speaking with him. You know, God has been saying to him, I'm not going forward with you. And Moses is saying, you've got to go with us. Because if you don't go with us, we will be no different than the Egyptians. We'll be no different than all the other nations. The only thing distinctive about us is you. So if we have God, we have his face. It produces a distinctiveness in us that isn't innate to us. You know, what distinguishes us from our unbelieving friends? Our brains? Well, I doubt it. Our sporting prowess? Our business acumen? Our dashing good looks? No, none of this. The only thing we have that they don't have is Jesus. It's what makes us distinctive. Jesus. You know, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We all now can see God face to face through Jesus. We're becoming more like Jesus as he enters our lives, and our faces shine with the brightness of Jesus' face. It's why our partnership is always with Jesus first. Now, God is clearly pleased with Moses, verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Moses has one more request in him. He's clearly emboldened by God's promise of presence. Verse 18, now show me your presence in full. The God who is there, the God who is leading, the God who is making himself known. I picked up this week a story from the 1960s. A daughter was institutionalized in a hospital, diagnosed with schizophrenia. And for a season, her father was not able to visit her. But he knew her room, he knew what floor it was on, and every day, at the same time, he would walk up a little mound, a little hill, just outside her window. And he would stand outside that window so that she could see him. He wanted to make himself known. What occurs next is one of those great mysteries in the Bible. Moses says, now show me your glory. And the back of God passes in front of Moses, proclaiming his name, the Lord, that he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness. Chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. His glory is too intense for Moses to look him in the face. To see the fullness of God's glory is more than any mortal human being can take. So the back of God passes by him. The story reminds us of how much our God wants to make himself known. In fact, the whole story of the Bible, from start to finish, is about God making himself known. God did FaceTime with Adam and Eve at the end of every day. As the Bible progresses, we find that the name of Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. You want God? You want God face to face? Here he is. He has a face. It's Jesus. Face to face with Jesus. It's the point of the whole Bible. In the last chapter of Revelation, it says, we shall see his face. As God's glory passes by Moses, he also declares, chapter 34, verse 7, that he does not leave the guilty unpunished. It's the sin of the people that prevented God going with them. How then can God now go with them? It's because the people have got a mediator. Yet, know this, there is someone God loves more than Moses, and his name is Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you want to have the face of God, it is through Jesus. At the cross, our punishment fell on Jesus. Jesus lost the face of God. My God, why have you forsaken me?" He lost the face of God so that we can always have it. Amen. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we long to know you more. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who has made it possible that we may know you as a friend. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who has made it possible that we can partner with you in gospel work. Come now, Father, and shine your face upon us. Amen.